today we have the privilege of hearing from Amelia. She's our River Kids Director, and there's a lot of wisdom that she can share with us. Please welcome Amelia.
Thank you, Charles. Good morning. My name is Amelia. I'm the Children's Program Director here at the River. Welcome. There's one activity that we do every Sunday with the children, and it's called the imaginative prayer. This form of prayer involves using your imagination so that we can enter into a story or a scene from the Bible, allowing us to fully immerse in the narrative and experience God personally. So we start with dimming the lights in the room, and we ask the children to close their eyes while taking a few deep breaths together. Then the leader describes a scene and asks questions to help the children visualize themselves within the story. One particular Sunday, we told the children that we will end today's prayer by calling out each of their names. And when they heard their names, they could open their eyes and look around as if the light had just turned on and they had entered a new reality, a new world. It's a very simple practice, and the children were incredibly cooperative. Each child opened their eyes upon hearing their names and look around the room, pretending to be amused with what they saw, even though it was still our classroom, exactly the same classroom. But the kids enjoyed the activity so much that they asked to repeat the prayer time, and this has never happened before. Hearing their names sparked something inside of them and brought smiles to their faces. The story that we told the children that Sunday was the story of Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene on the day of his resurrection. There are variations in this narrative, but all the Gospels seem to concur that Mary Magdalene and a few other women were the first people to visit Jesus' tomb. When the women arrived at the tomb early in the morning, they found that Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. They told the disciples, but they didn't believe the women. So Peter and John ran to check the tomb for themselves, and they saw that it was empty. Then the men went back to where they were staying, but Mary stayed behind. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. We may have heard that God is always revealing God's self to us all the time, but we're often too distracted to notice God, so we miss out on recognizing God. God's presence in our lives. So it's tempting to interpret that Mary here was overwhelmed by her emotions. Mary was deep in sadness and grief. She just lost someone very close to her, a beloved person. Mary's mind was troubled. She had no idea where Jesus' body was and who could have taken him. Her vision was probably obscured with tears, and her ears might have been stuffed up. This is a very reasonable interpretation, and it's something that many of us can probably relate to. But there is another way of looking into this story, one that does not imply a certain level of impairment on the part of Mary, but rather explores why Mary. You see, the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It changes the way we see death and life. It shapes our faith and challenges our beliefs about what's impossible and possible. It is arguably one of the most important and powerful stories ever. This is a big deal. And Mary was the first person to receive this new, unimaginable, groundbreaking reality. The reality of the resurrected Christ. The reality of victory over death. The reality of hope and life everlasting. Women were not known as reliable witnesses in biblical times. In ancient Jewish law and traditions, women were often excluded from formal legal proceedings. Their testimonies was not admissible or held in high regard. So Jesus challenged the cultural norms, as he often did, and what he did carries profound implications for equality and empowerment. For centuries, women's roles and voices have been marginalized and minimized across various aspects of life, including within the Bible itself. Christianity, like many other religious institutions, has predominantly operated within patriarchal structures. One that prioritized male figures and authority since its early days. So I appreciate the notion that Jesus was restoring some balance. Jesus underscores God's message of unconditional love and inclusion. But there's more. See, Mary was not just a token for diversity, right? To end here would be to diminish the role of Mary and the significance of this event. Just like replacing the pronouns for God from he to she or they, solely for the sake of balance, is insufficient. While this is a necessary task, it's important to contemplate how our understanding of God might have been restricted, even distorted, by exclusively employing the male pronouns and masculine perspective. How might our perception of God broaden by including the feminine dimension? So, I think it's safe to assume that the meeting with Mary was intentional and important, that Jesus just had to make the time for it. And I believe there is a synchronicity between Mary's timing and Jesus's. Mary became the first witness of the resurrection, the apostle to the apostles. because she is the person for the job. So today we're going to explore why Mary was essential in making sense of it all for the other disciples and for us, and how Mary's experience could unveil a fuller and more balanced perspective of faith and life resurrected. One thing that stood out to me in our earlier passage is that Mary stayed around. She was not rushing to go anywhere, whereas the men just left, back to wherever they were staying and doing. Mary took time to embrace and process what she had just seen and heard. Mary was not the one disconnected from her surrounding. In fact, she was the only one still standing outside of the tomb. See, the past few days must have been incredibly hard, emotional, and confusing. Further study revealed that Mary was always there for Jesus from the very beginning of his ministry. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. The 12 were with him, also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the managers of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So Mary did not just follow Jesus. Mary actively supported Jesus out of her own resources. More facts about Mary. She was one of the few who stayed behind at the foot of the cross. Mary was also one of the last persons who saw Jesus' body in the tomb. People who stay behind or who are always there tend to see more things, witness a lot more. See, we are limited by what the Bible recorded. But let's use our imagination together. Let's imagine Jesus' last moments on the cross. What you might see. Maybe the tears, the sweat, the cuts and the wounds. And I'm guessing probably a lot of blood. What you might hear, the painful sounds of groaning, moaning, crying, maybe even screaming, and the sound of Jesus' last breath. Not everyone could witness such a terrible thing. Not everyone could stay around for the crucifixion. When there's a tragedy, disappointment, sorrow, and injustice, only a few people will stick around. And this is what the gospel said about the men during Jesus' crucifixion. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. Even after Jesus was buried, the woman continued to return to anoint Jesus' body with spices and ointments. I believe women engage in such rituals because they recognize its significance. Let me be more specific, because the emphasis here is not so much on the gender, but rather on the feminine characteristics such as devotion, care, tenderness, and humility. Many of us probably know or have the privilege of knowing one or more people like this in our lives. People who are always there, quietly, but profoundly present. Growing up, my mother was one of those people. She was always the first one to wake up in the morning and the last person to go to bed, because she wanted to make sure that everyone had what they needed for the day and before they go to sleep. These are people with a heart of serving others. None of these women wrote the Gospels we read today. But they were entrusted with the most powerful and important news in human history. And this speaks volumes of how much God loved and trusted the women of Jesus' ministry. To me, it sometimes feels like the women were embedded in the biblical narratives like hidden pearls, so that only those who seek will find them, those with keenness and receptivity. Do you remember the story about the woman who anointed Jesus with expensive perfume while the men were debating theology? This is how Jesus responded to those who tried to diminish her. "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Jesus was very good at acknowledging people, lifting those who were minimized in the world. Jesus was intentional with everything he did. So I wonder, if Jesus honored Mary with his presence because Mary had always been present for Jesus too, in ways that the other disciples were not able to do quite as well. Let me share a story. The weeks and days leading to my father's passing were incredibly difficult for our family. Honestly, there was a part of me that did not want to be there, because seeing my once lively, kind, sharp, and capable father became so weak and in pain was heartbreaking. Many people have idealist vision of what their last moments in life should be like. Maybe they imagine having meaningful conversation with their loved ones. Maybe a sweet farewell. But in reality, life and death can be messier than expected. So during my father's final moments, he was grumpy and distant, so our family decided to play one of his favorite songs to soothe him. A particular Chinese song from the 70s on repeat 24/7 until he passed away. About a year later, at my younger sister's wedding, as a custom, the pastor paused before announcing the couple to see if anyone had anything to say, and there was a silence. Except for a ringtone playing from someone's cell phone, it's the exact old Chinese song that we had played for my father. Of all the ringtones in the world, thousands. my father was not present physically, but he was with us. He wanted to recognize us and for his presence to be recognized too, using a specific method that only those closest to him could understand. So when I read this story, I could not help but to make that connection. Jesus was speaking Mary's love language, a gift of presence, a demonstration of a relationship that is intimate and real. And did you notice in the earlier passage that Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary? We would never know what kind of life Mary had before she met with Jesus. But 7 demons sound terrifying, right? And dark. Mary's deliverance, passing through the darkness into a new life with Jesus, was a kind of a resurrection, don't you think? A rebirth. An experience that might be challenging for anyone else to comprehend. After all, resurrection is irrational to the mind, wild and radical. But unlike the others, Mary was receptive. She could make sense of it because she had the experience of resurrection, and it transformed her. For Mary, the resurrection was not merely theoretical or theological. It was her life. When Jesus called her name outside of the tomb, Mary experienced an even bigger expansion of a reality. To Mary, the resurrected Jesus means, Jesus had never truly left. Jesus was always with her, a presence she could hold on to, and Jesus would remain so. Because you see, Jesus' resurrection paved the way for the Holy Spirit, a new kind of divine presence. Another beautiful, amazing, and groundbreaking reality that we all have access to. So, how can this practically help us in our day-to-day life? How can this new insight, how can Mary's perspective help us live a resurrection life? 1, consider and appreciate the feminine in ourself. Being rational and assertive can be helpful, but attending to our emotion and yielding to the unfolding of God's reality can help us tap into a rich source of awareness and insights. The anointing of Jesus, the burial rituals, may look wasteful to the world. Spices, ointments, perfumes, what could they really do? But for these women, these deeply personal, passionate, and intuitive acts allow for intimate relationships with Jesus. The act of caring for others is often undervalued in a society that prioritizes individuals' competency, productivity, and success. But to take the path of Jesus often involves going against the systems. So let's consider, even prioritize, to be a supportive, non-hierarchical, caring, and gentle presence to those around us. Cynthia Borzo, the author of The Meaning of Mary Magdalene, wrote, "As you consider Christ's consciousness through the divine feminine, you can expect your relationship with other people are going to deepen and strengthen as well as your relationship with the divine. Second, choose life and life-giving experiences every day. To live a life of resurrection may include casting away our demons or letting go our rigid ways. Our anxious, controlled, angry, certain, and self-important posture. All the things that occupy us mostly up here in the mind. Mary shows us that to experience the transformative power of the resurrection, it has to go deeper than the mind, deeper than feelings and memories and desires. Resurrection is not a one-time event, but a practice of choosing life and life-giving experiences, such as courage, love, compassion, humility, hope, and joy. Even when it looks silly and reckless to the world, the blessings of resurrection are good for every day. So let us pray and receive these blessings together. May the blessings of the resurrection fill our hearts with boundless hope and love as we journey forward into the promise of new life and possibilities. May we, like Mary, experience the joy of encountering the risen Christ in our midst, today and every day. Amen.